Morning, everyone. I have a song as well I'd like to sing. You may turn to number 311.
Oh, come gracious Spirit, heavenly dove, with light and comfort from above. Be thou our guardian, thou our guide, o'er every thought and step preside, o'er every thought and step preside. The light of truth to us display, and make us know and choose thy way. Plant holy fear in every heart, that we from God may ne'er depart, that we from God may ne'er depart. Lead us to holiness, the road which we must take to dwell with God. Lead us to Christ, the living way, nor let us from his pasture stray, nor let us from his pasture stray. Lead us to God, our final rest, to be with him forever blessed. Lead us to heaven, its bliss to share, fullness of joy forever there, fullness of joy forever there.
Thank you. Let me turn to Acts 2. Anybody tell me, is there anything special about today?
Pentecost?
I'm sorry?
Pentecost?
Pentecost, yes, that's exactly what I was thinking of. Today is Pentecost. You won't necessarily find it on the calendars, but it is a significant day. It comes 50 days after Easter. The Jews, or the Israelites in the Bible times, celebrated this day primarily for Thanksgiving of the first fruits of wheat harvest, and then later it was observed in remembrance of God's law given to them through Moses on Mount Sinai. It is still observed today by the Jewish people who are still waiting for their Messiah to come. And like we mentioned already, there was something else that happened on this day, and it changed the world. It changed believers. It gave them power, power that only comes from God. God sent his Spirit to dwell in the hearts of men. The day of Pentecost means so much for the believer. And I quote from Robert Baer, "Bethlehem was God with us, Calvary was God for us, and Pentecost is God in us." Jesus had just ascended into heaven, and he had told his disciples to stay in Jerusalem and wait for the promise. In Acts 1, verses 4 and 5, "And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." And Acts chapter 2, we're going to read all of these verses. Here we have the wonderful story of the coming of the Holy Spirit to the hearts of believers. And we also will read what Peter had to say in his new zeal for the Church of Christ. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, and the multitude came together, and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language, and they were all amazed, and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? Parthians, and Medes, and Elamites, and the dwellers in Mesopotamia, and in Judea, and Cappadocia, and Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia, and in Egypt, and in the parts of Libya about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed, and were in doubt, saying one to another, What meaneth this? Others mocking said, These men are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Him, being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope. Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received with the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand, until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is known unto you, and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. I guess that's the title of the message this morning. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. I guess I'd like to ask us some questions about that. We know that the Holy Spirit is alive and moving among God's people. But how about us? We call ourselves Christians and we do what is expected of us, more or less. But really, what are the signs that the Holy Spirit has come upon the Heartland Mennonite Brotherhood as a whole, and even more specifically, to each one of us individually, because we are accountable to God personally of ourselves to God. What should folks see at Heartland Mennonite Brotherhood, and what should folks see in each of us individually? I think we definitely should consider what those looking on and observing we'll see in our brotherhood, but I think we have a responsibility to each other in the brotherhood as well. What do we see in our brothers? Do we have the flame of the Spirit burning brightly from our lives? Is it obvious in my life? I'd like to just go through this passage and challenge ourselves, test us, inspire us. We want vibrant, Holy Spirit moving, joyful Christian fellowship and brotherhood, but what are we doing to allow the Spirit to work that miracle right here in this congregation? How do we do it? You know, it's really not complicated at all when the Spirit is in control. It's hard, though, but mostly because of our selfish, carnal nature. All right, the first point is from the previous chapter, in chapter 1 and verse 14. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. A quote from J. Hudson Taylor: "Since the days of Pentecost, has the whole church ever put aside every other work and waited upon him for 10 days, that the Spirit's power might be manifested? We give too much attention to method and machinery and resources, and too little to the source of power." I guess this point is twofold, since we need to recognize that we don't have the power within ourselves. We need the Spirit's power. Otherwise, we will be disappointed time and time again. We can't do it on our own. The second part of it is we need to be praying. Pray personally and collectively. We recognize it's not in us, first of all, and we reach out for it through prayer. Prayer allows the Spirit to come and move among us. But it also brings us together. It brings about unity. We are all working towards the same goal, the same thing. We will be at the same place, it says. It's not going to be a guessing game whether we are all on board or not. Verse 1, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place." What does it look like to be all with one accord in one place? Well, for one, you'll see us together like this right now. Church life is priority. Our brotherhood is priority. I'm not so sure I get this right like I should all the time. We get our priorities mixed up. And I think our culture and lifestyle does not help us out in this at all, really. We can live our individual lives very easily, and we end up being all over the place rather than at one place. We use the term sometimes, it's a small world. We meet someone at an airport or clear across the country or continent that we never expected to meet there. The world has become small and reachable, and yet if we don't put effort to be at one place, our church is missing something, and I believe it hinders the work of the Spirit. While I still believe it is important to be at the same place in person, it's not always going to happen. We have to be realistic, but there needs to be that want to. I miss my brotherhood. I miss my church. And when we are occasionally out and about, we will feel that support from our brotherhood at home, and we will stay in touch too. And the Spirit will move. Folks will see that we are for real and that we aren't individualistic. And they will know where we are from, or at least what we stand for. And most importantly, they will long for Spirit-moving power. Being at one place isn't only about being together in person. It's actually mostly about being at one place in heart. But that too will bring us back to each other in person, the desire to be together as a body of believers. Verses 2 and 3 talks about sound and the appearance of cloven tongues like as of fire. The Spirit in our life will be obvious and influential. Take for contrast, and I think we all have met people we knew personally, and we had to really look for signs that they were for real, and it was rather hard to believe that they professed that the Spirit was in their life. But then I'm sure you've met people for the first time, no background and no previous dealings, but it was so obvious that they had the Spirit in their life, that rushing mighty wind, that cloven tongue of fire. The Spirit will be obvious in our life. And if you question me in my life and say, Eldon, is this of the Spirit? Are you really being humble? Are you separate from the world? It's obvious to you when I don't have it right, when the Spirit isn't moving in my life. And yet, of course, our tendency and my tendency is to get defensive and say, well, I'm the one that knows me. It's between me and the Lord. We need to help each other. I must have that openness and honesty to you. And vice versa. And when we don't see that flame of fire and hear that rushing mighty wind among our brethren, yes, first make sure it is in our life. But we have a duty to challenge and question our brothers when there is doubt. Where is the wind? Where is the flame? Otherwise, the Spirit will not be moving among us, and that rushing wind and flame will totally die out. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Another sign that we see here in the early church was the speaking in tongues. I'm not going to say a whole lot on this, as I don't think there is a whole lot to say really about it, but we understand how God used this in the early church. We don't speak in tongues necessarily, but I do believe that if and when God would need us to speak in tongues, he could use any one of us to do so if we were walking in the Spirit. And there is a sense that maybe we do speak in tongues as words are preached, because God is speaking through his word, and he is speaking to each one of us individually and speaking to the needs and meeting each need of our hearts as he deems best. And if we aren't fed from a boring message, so to speak, then really was the Spirit moving among our hearts? Another sign is there will be scoffers. We will get accused of some unkind things. We are enjoying church life and we are giving it are all. We feel blessed and close to God. The Spirit is moving among us, but there will be those looking on, even like Sanballat in the Old Testament. I'm not sure if that's a super good illustration or not. But they will say, you're crazy. Your brotherhood is weak. There's no life there. All it will take is a fox, and these city walls will fall to the ground. Here in the early church, they were accused of being full of new wine. There are some things that will not make sense to the world, to those who do not have the Spirit in their life. This is a quote from Pope Francis. We can study the whole history of salvation. We can study the whole of theology. But without the Spirit, we cannot understand it. It is the Spirit that makes us realize the truth. Or in the words of our Lord, it is the Spirit that makes us know the voice of Jesus. Moving on now to verse 14, we have Peter standing up and lifting up his voice. The Spirit brings boldness. And with the Spirit in our life, we will speak up. We will not stand for negativity of our brotherhood and for the cause of Christ. Verse 15, for these are not drunken as ye suppose. And Peter went on and proved to them prophecies that were coming to pass and signs that the Spirit was among them. So more signs of the Spirit moving among us are we will recognize or at least have interest in the things that are coming to pass. Not only being familiar with the scriptures and understanding the dangers of the end times, but also looking for the signs of Christ coming again. Looking forward to that moment. The Spirit will bond the generation together. We will work together. Verses 17 and 18, the youth and the younger people have the vision and zeal for the future, and the older have the wisdom. And if we couple that with the work of the Spirit, there are no boundaries. The Spirit in each of our lives will want the help and input of others. And that includes the older looking to the younger for inspiration and enthusiasm, and the younger looking to the older for wisdom. Also, the Spirit will bring conviction. Verse 37, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? A church that is on fire and a heart that is on fire will speak to others. It will convict. We know the Spirit does the convicting, but the Spirit works through us. So if people aren't being convicted, if we ourselves don't feel conviction, maybe we aren't allowing the Spirit to move among us. The way we live our life should convict others. We like that thought better than speaking up. It's so much easier to teach by example, you know. Live our quiet, peaceable lives. Peter spoke up here. Do we speak up? Head down and plodding on has its place. But if you are like me, the weakness is exactly that, not speaking up. If Peter had not spoken up, would they have been pricked in their heart? They were mighty curious about everything that was going on, and I think that a lot of people we deal with are mighty curious too. They like what they see. What if the reason they aren't convicted is because we don't speak up? Speaking the word is a sign of the Spirit. A sign of the Spirit is souls coming to Christ. There were 3,000 souls added to the church at this moment of the early church. It must have been amazing, an awe-inspiring moment. Is something wrong that we don't have a congregation with 3,000 members? This was the birth of the church, and the church spread out from here into different parts of the world. So if we have a church that is growing, it will be spreading as well. We know that the end times will bring severe challenges and falling away. Scriptures talk about that. We see and hear of churches failing and the casualties from that. Hearts will become hardened and cold. But the Spirit is still here and can soften and mold the hardest heart. Is it ever right to question whether a church is missing the Spirit because of lack of growth? It's a hard question, maybe. Revelation speaks of churches being lukewarm. Churches that aren't all in for Christ. But I feel that long before we start questioning the church we are part of, we need to be questioning the Spirit's work in our own personal life. Any one of us personally could be dampening the Spirit's work in our brotherhood. And if we have that flame and the rushing wind is heard, the convicting among our brothers will happen. And if we have the Spirit like we say we do, we will be convicted as well and make adjustments in our life accordingly. Being filled with the Spirit is such a beautiful and amazing thing. And in the latter part of this chapter, we see the fellowship of the believers. Like I mentioned earlier, a church and brotherhood that has a Spirit among them is attracted to those looking on. It makes others want to be a part of it. It inspires other churches to be like it. And this morning, as I say this, I don't want to imply that our church is falling to pieces or that I wish I wasn't part of this church. I don't mean that at all. I do love this church, and I do believe good things are happening. However, I don't want to smooth things over and say we don't have work to do. That's not the case. I'm human, you're human, and that's why we need the Spirit's work in our life. We need the help of each other. That's why we have brotherhood. We need the fellowship of the believers. And the only way to have true brotherhood and fellowship of the believers is to have the Spirit among us. I remember as a child grappling with time and eternity, trying to understand it. Eternity just was too hard to grasp. And you probably heard me talk about that already, how just time or eternity is just on and on and on and on. And your mind just can't comprehend that, especially as a young child. And even with time would end sometime, and that was a scary thought. We just ended our school term yesterday. And I remember thinking about that as a child. When are we going to be finished with church, too? When will we have a break from going to church? I like to start things and finish them as quickly as possible. That's personality, I suppose, and I get that. Not the same for all of us. But the point I'm trying to make is church life and Spirit work is continual. It's all of life. We really don't get a lot of breaks. That said, it shouldn't discourage us, because when we apply ourselves and we allow the Spirit to move among us, it is meaningful and rewarding. We wouldn't want anything different. So a personal question for all of us. Does it feel like church life is hard? Should it be hard? I guess on the flesh, yes, and on our minds, yes. And another quote, this is from Corrie ten Boom: trying to do the Lord's work in your own strength is the most confusing exhausting and tedious of all work. But when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, then the ministry of Jesus just flows out of you. That hit home for me, and I will be blunt and honest about myself first. I struggle putting messages together, and it feels like hard work. But why not just allow the Spirit to work? This applies to all of us, not just in putting messages together, topics and devotions. It applies to our whole walk of life. We can't escape our human body. We will get tired. We do have our limits. But with the Spirit working in our life, it will minister to our needs and provide everything we need to do God's work. What does fellowship of the believers look like? Praying together, singing together, worshiping together, and breaking of bread, it says, eating together. I think verse 42, and when it says in breaking of bread, I think it's critical to remember that they were remembering the Lord's death as well. Christian fellowship affects most, if not all, of our life. We include each other in normal life, not just in church and outreach activities. I suppose our normal life will revolve around godly and profitable things. But isn't that one reason why we have fellowship meals, church campouts at times, work bees, school programs, and picnics? Yesterday we had the ball game afterwards. It was good. We just love doing things together. If we don't have the Spirit in our life, these things won't be something we look forward to either. It's not about having a blast. It's about living a godly life together. Verse 43, and fear came upon every soul. What does this mean? Church life shouldn't be a fearful thing, should it? The fear of God will be among us. We will have that reverence and fear in our worship services, of course, but we will also have that fear and reverence in our day-to-day life. It will affect the things we do, the places we go, the things we say, and how we appear. Many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. Again, I believe God used these miracles in more significant ways in the early church, but don't underestimate God. God still works miracles today, and he may need you. He may need you to deliver that miracle. Be led by the Spirit. We see this together thing in verse 44. Again, very similar to being at the same place. All things common, common interests, and common goals. We don't all live together all in one colony or as such, but we still have all things common. We care about the needs of our brother, spiritually, physically, emotionally. My time is our time. My things are our things. My money is our money. Or maybe the better way to put it is, it's all God's, and under the Spirit's direction, we will share and help out wherever and whenever he leads. Spirit-led people receive the word of God. They welcome it. They believe it. They take it in. They practice it. They experience it. And they hold on to it. They hunger for it. They joy and rejoice in it. They share it. Verse 47 talks about praising God and having favor with all the people. Life with the Spirit only brings joy and rejoicing and a bonding and closeness that can't be found anywhere else. How is it with you? Do you feel and hear a rushing wind about you? Does it excite you? Is your flame obvious? And are there flames about your brotherhood? This is soul searching for all of us, I believe. But at the same time, I am excited because I really do believe that the Spirit is among us. And all it takes is more openness, more brokenness, and more Spirit leading. We need to strive for more. If we settle for what we have, it too will become shallow. God wants us to press on and become more like him. Be open to God and to the work of the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. Let's kneel for prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your love. We thank you that we have this brotherhood here. Lord, help us to be led by the Spirit. We pray, Lord, you would move among us. We thank you for each one. We pray for those who are sick, those who could not make it this morning. We think of friends and families who are lost. Lord, speak to them, help them to find you. And pray also for those who are sick and suffering. We think of Nathan's mother, Esther. Lord, pray you would heal her, give the doctors wisdom. Others that maybe I'm not thinking of right now, Lord, just be especially close to them and heal them, not against your will. Bless the activities of the evening. Be with the brethren who are bringing topics tonight. Lord, bless them with words. And bless us all as we go about your work this week. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.